Good morning and welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate all of you for tuning into the show. Today is Sunday, September 20th, 2015. I'm Scott Lohman. Today, Mahad Muhammad is interviewing Hertzy Hertz and Dan Hansen about gaming, Dungeons and Dragons, and geek game culture. It should be very interesting. We welcome listener interaction during our live show with your phone calls to 952-946-6205 or your emails to radio@mnatheist.org. Role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons tend to be misunderstood by people who don't understand role-playing games. Hertzy Hertz and Dan Hansen are both lifelong role-playing gamers, as well as geeks, and have been playing the game Dungeons & Dragons for a long time. They're going to talk about the history of the show, or the game, and some of the crazy stuff that's been going on around it. So you can find links and program archives on the Minnesota Atheist website. So Mahad Muhammad, Hertzy Hertz, and Dan Hansen, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Scott. Like Scott has said, we are here with Hertzy and Dan. Today we're discussing, like Scott said, D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, and my guests, Hertzy and Dan, have been playing this game for a while, and any one of you listeners who have not played the game, Dungeons & Dragons has been labeled as a primer to the cult, and charged with leading children into satanic covens from which they do not return. So before we get to that, what is D&D?
Well, Dungeons & Dragons is a game that started in 1974 by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson. It's what's called a tabletop role-playing game. So people are together, they get together around a table, they have various dice, and they use their imaginations to create stories and characters that go through various puzzles and dungeons. If you don't mind, Mahad, a couple of terms that I just want to define for people who don't know Dungeons & Dragons.
Please.
The first one is the DM. This is the Dungeon Master. The Dungeon Master is the one who creates the story and the puzzles for the players to go through.
He's the referee.
Exactly. you have what's called player characters, and that's what the players are. They're playing a character. It's like acting super light. Of course, RPG is role-playing game, and then you also have what's called LARP. LARP developed probably not too long after tabletop RPGs started, and that is live-action role-playing game. And that is, it's a little bit more in-depth than the tabletop, because usually what you'll have is a room or a series of rooms that players can interact a little bit more in, but it's still very obviously a game.
If any of you have ever been to like the Renaissance Festival, those people are LARPing.
Yep.
They have characters, they'll stay in character and talk to you in the language of the language that specifically fits whatever character they have, and an idea.
Does the online version of gaming, say like PS3 or the PC, would that fall under the category of LARP then?
No, that actually has become its own category, especially with the online gaming that's, I believe it's MMOs, multimedia.
MMORGs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's its own. And actually, there are servers that will be dedicated to people who want to kind of role play a character. But most of the time, people are just gathering XP and wasting time just kind of playing a game.
Yeah. So who created D&D? Why was it created?
Well, it's, in all honesty, it actually started a long time ago with the English, and they were kind of creating historic reenactments of war on a table. The idea is to help soldiers learn to strategize and such on the field. Well, that kind of moved over to a hobby for some people, and then Dave Arneson and Gary Gygax took that one step further and said, we want to focus on one individual person And let's toss in Tolkien to kind of mix it up.
if you think about it, almost everybody did role-playing games when they were young. I know when I was growing up, we played, you know, Cops and Robbers, and we played, you know, Cowboys and Indians, and some people did war games or whatever, and you choose a character. You're the cop, you're the good guy, whatever, and that's really not that different than Dungeons and Dragons, except there's more rules. Yeah, lots of rules.
Yeah, especially because, you know, you can say, I shot you, and there's an actual, like, yes or no, opposed
to... find out whether you did.
Yeah.
Opposed to just, no, you didn't.
Exactly. I have my shield up.
Right. I ducked.
And so the game was created in 1972, and there have been many other versions since.
Oh, yeah.
Why has it always been revised, or why has there been many different versions?
I would say one reason is because, you know, D&D kind of took off, and so multiple people wanted to capitalize on that. So you do have multiple, like you have Castle and Crusades has a version of D&D. Then other people wanted to take that idea and expand it to space or the future as opposed to the past. As for why they keep revising the rules, because people are always looking for what fits them. You know, for example, Dan, what version of D&D do you like?
I like the second version, which is one that I learned on back in the late 80s, and I play on the fifth version now, which I find enjoyable too.
Yep. So, you know, that's the version that fits him best. I haven't played fifth edition yet. It's been on my list for like so long, but I actually really enjoy fourth edition because, you know, it was that's the one that clicked.
A lot of people hate that edition.
I know, and now I'm publicly saying it out on the radio.
Shocking.
I know.
I think part of it is you're looking for game balance a lot, and so like there are character types like a monk. You can play a monk, and you know the monk was a difficult character to play because of various things you needed. Attributes and things like that, and so it was considered a very weak player. A lot of people didn't like to play it, and so you know, they revised the rules to make it a little bit stronger and easier to play. Yeah. It's just things like that, I think, primarily.
Yeah.
So each revision pretty much has something added to it then, every time that they have a new one coming out. In terms of the world play, then, does it expand? Are there new worlds created within it in every new revision then?
Well, and that's a fun part about playing it, is you can always add yourself. You can always add more on your own, you know. I played a game for about 4 years where it was completely DM-driven. It was all of his own creation. It was wonderful.
I did the same thing when I was a DM for most of the time back in the when I first started, and I created my own worlds. It's incredibly time-consuming, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you guys have, you guys have been playing for a while, so do you usually have the same characters in each new revision, or do you play different characters? I know a lot of people who have been playing the game for a while and always stick to the same character a few years on.
As a Dan, you probably have been playing longer than I have.
But most of that is a Dungeon Master.
Ooh.
I guess because I get to play all the characters then. I get to play the barmaid, I get to play the captain of the guard and everything else. I tend to like pretty basic sort of tanks, which is a term for fighters. They just take a lot of damage and do a lot of damage. Thieves, which are always fun.
Oh, I love playing the sneaky rogue.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I also tend to like playing what's called a warlock, because it was... The idea of the warlock was a kind of a darker turn on wizard, and I just thought it was a really fascinating character area I could explore, especially with character background, because you're supposed to make a promise with your magic to somebody, and it's like, who are you promising?
Right, and that's the thing too. Depending on the campaign, I'm in right now, there really is no magic. The Dungeon Master has set it up so that magic has been outlawed. It's still around, but it's not part of our play hardly at all. You wouldn't want to be caught with a spellcaster in your group. It would go very poorly.
I actually tried to run a campaign that I would love to resurrect, where it was Victorian times, and magic had been just completely gone for 1,000 years, there was like this big blight and all magic users just died. So no one has seen magic for like 1,000 years. They don't even know it exists.
I have a feeling that still the people that don't like Dungeons & Dragons, who think it's a gateway to the cult, still would have a problem with it, even though there's no magic involved in any of the characters.
Well, the group that the characters were going, they had the few people who are starting to be able to use magic again.
Okay.
So I still put magic in there.
Now, the game, there's also another term, I think, which we don't have down, called the SRA, in terms of the satanic ritual is concerned. And there's been a huge movement in the 80s with the satanic ritual, the panic attacks that have been happening in the 1980s.
Yep.
And the game having been a huge part of that. And if we can talk a little bit about maybe a timeline of certain things that may have happened involved in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And just make it quick. We're coming up with a commercial.
Oh, boy. All right. Abridged.
Well, actually, just start on it, and then when we come back, we can get into more.
Okay, sweet.
Cool.
Very quick. It started in about 1972, the Satanic Panic in general, with the book The Satan Seller by Mark Wernicke. This was, you know, exposed as a fraud in 1992, but... I think that's it.
Yeah, there's the music. So, again, that'll cue us to going into our first commercial. So please stay with us through the break. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Larson Financial Hour airs every weekend, bringing you the latest updates in retirement financial issues. Hi, this is Neil Larson. I have more than 40 years experience, and each week I offer informed financial tips and strategies to ensure you make safe investments. For more personalized advice to maintain a stable income after retirement, contact me at 952-303-3232.
The Neil Larson Financial Hour, Saturdays at noon with a replay Sundays at 7 a.m. only on AM 950.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems by meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours. And ours alone. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Scott Lohman. If you have a comment or a question, please call us at 952-946-6205 or send an email to radio@mnatheist.org. Mahad, Hertzi, and Dan, welcome back to Atheist Talk. And we're going to be talking about the satanic panic of the 80s. So, Hertzi, tell us about that.
All right. Well, like I said, it did start in about 1972 with the Satan Cellar of by Mike Wernicke, which was exposed as fraud later. But the first time D&D started entering this fray of satanic panic was about 1979 when James Dallas Egbert III was found missing in Michigan State University. He was a 16-year-old in college, and he went down to the utility tunnels beneath the campus to try and commit suicide. He then hid at his friend's house for about a month. His mom got a private investigator, William Deere, to kind of come in and help the police. And he did speculate to the press that Egbert had gotten lost in the steam tunnels during a LARP. And this was before LARP really had even started. Mm-hmm. So the press really latched on to that idea. Fast forward a few years later, Irving Pulling committed suicide in 1982, and his mother, Patricia Pulling, very soon after started the movement BADD, which is Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons.
Terrible. Just awful.
I know.
Are you saying there was a hashtag back then for BBAD?
You know, they're kind of what in the 1980s version, but they went even further than a hashtag. They were acting as expert witnesses. They were giving out information to the police. She was using these Christian conservative outlets to really push that D&D was something that would get people into Satanism and also get people into committing suicide or murder. In 1985, Dr. Thomas Radeke basically kind of helped join her on this, saying things like, the game is full of human sacrifice, eating babies, drinking blood, rape, murder of every variety, and curses of insanity.
You know, Bat even suggested, they linked the supposed suicides that they thought were attributable to D&D to phases of the moon. They said that half of them happened during a full moon, and actually went so far as to sort of suggest that this was because so many players were playing lycanthropes, were playing, you know, werewolves, which don't actually exist in D&D, but, you know, why stop a good story, you know?
Well, I think in the 1970s versions they didn't, but they do in the later versions.
Okay.
But it's even then, it's like...
You still have to admit it.
Yeah.
It's pretty silly.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. In 1984, Chick Tract released a series of comics about it called Dark Dungeon. And Dan, do you want to talk about that? Because I think your opinion would be... Excellent.
Well, you know, it. If you look at it, I mean, they try to show what they believe Dungeons & Dragons is, which doesn't really fit. If you know anything about the game, you know that, they start out by saying, you know, okay, Dungeon Master, my spell of light blinds the monster. It's like, well, there's no such thing in the game. They're just making it up. My parents were very much against my Dungeons & Dragons play, so much so that they actually offered to buy my books and dice for me so they could burn them. I told them that wouldn't really work because I'd just take the money and buy new books, which, you know, yay for me, new editions. But, the Chick Tracks and there was a cassette tape that was purchased for me that tried to do the same thing. And I counted 18 different mistakes made in the first less than a minute of play. And then they didn't get the author's name correct. I mean, Gary Gygax, and they got the name of the company wrong. So this it wasn't. It's like they weren't even trying to do any kind of real research. Chick Tracks. I mean, obviously Jack Chick never played the game. Didn't know anything about it.
No, and then, you know, bouncing off of that, in 1989, I'm going to butcher this name, William Schoenelbillen wrote an article called Straight Talk on D&D, and in that article, he actually states that TSR had visited his home supposedly this high wizard or whatever, and asking to see if the rituals were accurate. And I think my favorite part is that is several years after the game had been published.
Right.
There was also a lot of media in there, too. You had books like Monsters and Mazes that was then turned into a movie, which I have watched and is absolutely terrible.
Sure.
You have Skullduggery, which is a Canadian movie, also very terrible. And what's fun is, in the middle of all this controversy in 1983, and it's actually this week, it's its anniversary, the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon premiered.
You know, I never watched it. I heard it was so bad, I just couldn't even do it.
It wasn't the greatest. I watched reruns growing up, because I was actually born in 1983. But I watched some reruns, and it was terrible, but it was like that 1980s cheese.
It is very much. It's an animated show that was common for that era on Saturday mornings, and it just sort of had the basis of game players in their costumes just ending up in a parallel world on that. But it had Saturday morning stuff on it, so nobody got killed. You barely got hurt, and nobody was in mortal danger for more than half a minute.
Quality right up there with He-Man, Master of the Universe.
Exactly on that.
Nice.
And then it kind of, I guess you could say, culminated in 1985. 60 Minutes actually did a special about it, involving Gary Gygax and Patricia Poling. And watching that was very difficult, because it was looking, going, you guys aren't even, I feel like that even 60 Minutes wasn't actually researching the game as hard as they could have been.
Yeah, another case was the McMartin preschool trial, I think, in the 1980s.
Yep.
Involving the sexual abuse of children in the daycare, the hysteria of that moral panic, which eventually led to the mandatory reporting laws that happened in the 1980s. So it's interesting seeing the variety of ways in which satanic, I mean, and it's something, the SRA, satanic ritual abuse, is something that has been around years on, you know, with many of it with religious aspects, but to think of how the religious side of it has taken it to a point where they have involved gaming is pretty ludicrous.
Yeah, especially because all you have to do is crack the book for 2 seconds, and you'll find everything's fake.
I think part of the problem is when you set yourself up for magical thinking, when you believe in things like prayer, that you can just go ahead and say words out in the universe and things will happen. You really kind of open yourself up then to, you know, believing something like this, where it's like, oh, my kid is going to go ahead and he's going to say these words and you know, demons are going to come out, or things like that. I really do believe that when you open yourself up to that, then nothing seems ludicrous, even though it really should be obvious that it is. And we still have that problem today. It hasn't really changed. We still have people who blame, you know, Dungeons & Dragons and other role-playing games for, you know, their actions.
Yep.
To which shows they really don't know what they're talking about on that subject. So, as you can tell from the music, we're headed into a break. So please stay with us. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Make the connection. I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, talking about ideas that matter. Join me and my guests as we reflect on a wide range of topics that challenge us to see ourselves, our community, and the world around us in ways that get us thinking, connected, and perhaps inspired or challenged to do just a bit more because we made the connection. Be a part of our conversation Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Listen to A Woman's Place every weekend on AM 950 to hear about progressive issues from a woman's perspective. Coming up this week, we're excited to have three chief organizers brief us on the Women's March on Washington and the Minnesota Women's March that'll take place on January 21st. Listen every week to A Woman's Place, where all issues are women's issues, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Podcast anytime at am950radio.com.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show. Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions, too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Role-playing games have long been a part of geek life. Dungeons & Dragons was released in 1974. In the 80s, with conservative Christians on the warpath for things dragging down the culture, games were a target. However, misunderstandings abounded. Critics were concerned about the alleged supernatural stuff when the concern should have been about too much Coke and pizza, although people were getting together and getting friendly. So, welcome to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. If you have a question or comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email at radio@mnatheist.org. I'm Scott Lohman. Many of you know about this show by listening to us live on the air, streaming live on your computer, or listening to us by podcast. Please make an online donation at minnesotaatheists.org or contact us at info@minnesotaatheists.org. Any amount you can donate, no matter how large or small, helps. Mahad, Hertzi, and Dan, welcome back to Atheist Talk.
Thank you. The world is a complicated place in which tragedies sometimes occur. All too often the stupidest and maybe laziest members of society will seek to sort of compartmentalize all of their woes into one easy scapegoat. You know, Salem had its witches, Nazi had its Germany, and Jews pretty much were Nazi Germany had its Jews and McCarthy had its communists. We're talking about D&D Dungeons and Dragons because satanic ritual is still something that still happens around the world and not, you know, somewhere too far right here where people sort of believe that satanic ritual worship even happens in terms of bathing or sprinkling human or animal blood that, you know, came from Planned Parenthood. And you've got folks like, say, Pat Robertson, you know, that pretty much still give stern warnings to his followers, pretty much, in the, on the, you know, tying pretty much the game D&D to suicide on the 700 Club. It's pretty nasty out there.
It is.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the suicide thing, again, it stems from a couple incidents that Hertzies, you know, mentioned, and it gets a life of its own. And facts just get lost. The fact is, if you look at the numbers, actually, there are fewer suicides and suicide attempts by people who play role-playing games than who don't, than the general populace. I think that probably makes sense if you think about it, because usually you're dealing with creative people. You're writing your own story. It's like writing a book, but collaboratively. So you're working with other people. And I think it's obvious that if you're working with other people, if you're getting together on a weekly basis or however often you play, you have friends. You have something to go to. You have something to do. And
something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to, exactly. And that's, you know, something that helps keep people from being depressed. So yeah, it's an odd sort of thing that's come about this belief.
Yeah, and it's still ongoing. Dan, I think you were mentioning over the break about something happening in D.C.
Right, the Beltway snipers, 2002. Those of you remember that there were two young men that were shooting out of the back of their car randomly people, and when they were finally caught, they found investigators found a tarot card in their car or in their house. I forget which, and immediately said, "Oh, look, this is tied to Dungeons and Dragons," which is interesting because tarot and Dungeons and Dragons have nothing to do with each other whatsoever. But they immediately made that jump and then said, "Oh, D&D could definitely be a reason that they're doing this." So, I mean, that wasn't very long ago. We still have these misconceptions, preconceived ideas about role playing. You know, so people are like, "Well, why are we talking about this? This was back in the 80s. It doesn't happen anymore," and it absolutely happens.
Oh yeah, the biggest one, and this is a little bit aside from D&D, but one of the biggest things that I think of from my growing up is Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I actually ended up going to a very conservative Christian college for 9 months. Mm. Don't ask.
Fun.
Yeah. And I remember talking to, you know, one of the things I wanted to write about was that Harry Potter is not evil, and I asked, you know, I had to do this presentation, and I totally wasn't prepared. By that point, I had kind of written it off, and I asked everyone, I'm like, if you think Dungeons and Dragons is Satanism, raise your hand, and everyone does, except like one guy.
Right.
And then is Harry Potter, and the same thing, and I'm looking, and I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. Done.
Right. I know someone who was like the final straw for his parents was finding out that he was reading Harry Potter and like kicking him out of the house. And this is within the last few years. So, you know, this is a topic I think that matters just because it hasn't gone away.
No.
You may not hear about it as much, but it's still there and it's still affecting people.
Yeah, and if you listen to the televangelists, they're still spouting that, you know, satanic rituals are happening everywhere, despite the fact that in the 90s, the FBI did do a report and released a report that said they could not find anything.
Right. Didn't happen.
Nope.
But made great press.
Oh, very. Very. I mean, with the how many people were being convicted of murders and such revolving satanic rituals, it should have been on every corner store, you know.
It's estimated that 20 million people have played Dungeons and Dragons. If it was really that much of a force for evil, I think we'd probably be in a lot of trouble. That's a lot of people.
One of the summoning spells my warlock has done would have bound to have brought something.
You're just not doing it right. That's got to be it.
So do I have to do something aside from roll the dice?
Yeah, maybe bribe the dungeon master with pizza, something. I don't know.
You know, I don't think I did that enough.
See, that's it.
There you go. It's interesting to me because there's a website called LifeSite Online, which is pretty much anti-choice, far Christian right, and there was an article that they wrote a couple of weeks ago where the high wizard, the satanic high wizard Zachary King, I believe, had pretty much come out, and they were talking about the exposés that were done with Planned Parenthood in terms of those videos that we've all heard or seen, and Zachary pretty much, you know, they did an interview with him where he came out and said that, you know, I perform satanic rituals inside abortion clinics, specifically Planned Parenthood, and it turns out they actually paid him to say that. So it's pretty interesting. Right. It's pretty interesting to see how sort of the Christian right, or even within the context of cultural satanic ritual abuses and whatnot, it's always things that people are against, so they find a way to try and maybe minimize it or compartmentalize its effect.
Yeah, psychology also kind of latched on to the whole satanic ritual stuff. They went through memory recovery, which eventually was found out to be a false idea, and that's where a lot of those childcare providers and such were. They said, oh, you're doing satanic abuse. And it was like, no. And then there was Tom McRaddicky, who, you know, was stating D&D is such a horrible thing. There's a YouTube video with the 60 Minutes on it. And if you find the one I found, at least, afterwards, there's actually a whole thing about how he lost his license. And actually now he's in another scandal involving sex and basically trading prescription drugs for sex, and it's like, wow.
I love the fact that he brought the baby eating into it. It seems that's been the claim that you have to make. It's, you know, almost you have to.
And that's our claim as atheists. That is
right.
Our
that's
claim.
That's what we're supposed to do. And you know, the Jews, it's the same thing. The blood libel, you know. And then before them, the Christians, when they were first starting up, the pagans were like, "Oh, these people eat babies. They're horrible." You know, it's like, if you don't like a group, that's what you do.
Yep.
You know, put that down, because it's hard to think of anything a lot worse. So, you know.
True.
Yeah. And it's something that, and not to say that it's only with the Christian right or the Christian fundamentalism that exists only here. I mean, it's around the world in terms of, if you think even in Africa and Tanzania, in terms of albinism, how folks have
Great
their
point.
Hands and legs cut off because people believe, you know, that they're going to be healed if they eat these live beans.
I saw an albino squirrel on the way in today. I don't know. Is there something we could do with that? Probably not. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if it works on squirrels.
Yeah. It's interesting. So it's not only also in the Christian fundamentalism, like we've said. There's also been, in the 1980s, I know you mentioned Dr. Thomas Radecki. There's been pushed also for those who were against D&D to try and maybe justify so they could have the panic that they've had on a widespread forum, that they needed to have that justified in terms of scientific proof. And that's where I think folks that Dr. Thomas Radecki and others have come in.
Yep. One of my favorite lines in the 60 Minutes episode is Gary Gygax saying, "Show me clinical research that this actually causes suicides and murders. You know, show me actual."
And they did that immediately, right?
Totally. Radecki was just on it.
Right.
No, of course not. But, I mean, I don't. It has been disproven, you know. I mean, the statistics alone disprove that this is happening. And in fact, there's some organizations have actually stated that it's actually better for some of these kids to be involved in the game. Like Dan was saying earlier, you have that social aspect, you have a story, you know, you have that creative juice running around.
Mahad, I think you made a fair point. You were talking about the scapegoating earlier. And, you know, there's a case of a young man named Harold Collins who died of autoerotic asphyxiation. And his family decided that, you know, it was Dungeons & Dragons instead. And I mean, probably just because they wanted a better story, you know? It sounds, you know, more dramatic and maybe a little less embarrassing. And so it's like, well, okay, what's running around in the news? D&D is bad and evil. Let's do that. That sounds better than what actually happened.
Yeah, a lot of, especially for something like that one, a lot of parents would have been running to anything
else.
Except,
right.
You know, and... They didn't want the stain of mm-hmm. something like that on their family.
Right.
Now we've got about a minute left or so. Just on your personal experiences, you guys have been playing for a while, and I know you're both from a grew up in a very religious family. What role did the game play, or how did your parents react to? We can get to in 45 seconds.
Hersey.
Actually, my family was an awkward liberal Catholic, so I actually grew up with my dad playing D&D. So, Dan, actually, your expertise might be.
It was very much frowned upon, and the people that I played with actually had to hide it. I guess I was a little bit more open, but yeah, it's.
And we can talk about
the history.
Talk mm-hmm. about that more when you get back from the break. So please stay with us through the break. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Finding the best foods the Twin Cities has to offer is easy with eatlocalminnesota.com. Offering the top local and independently owned restaurants, EatLocalMinnesota.com has everything from burger joints to cocktails and fine dining. The Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is now open. The new menu features some familiar favorites, as well as several new dishes, ranging from vegetarian sandwiches to fresh burgers. Sunny's Ice Cream supplies the hand-dipped ice cream, and rotating flavors of fruit sorbet are always available. The Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, in Minneapolis. Enjoy made-from-scratch cooking at the family-owned Milton's, specializing in dishes like award-winning ribs and plank salmon, grilled up on their charcoal grill. Satisfy any sweet tooth with incredible desserts like Bananas Foster. Milton's menu also includes gluten-free options and a large selection of local craft beers. Reservations accepted for groups of five or more.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click Here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello, and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, December 25th, 2016. I'm Nick Fish, the National Program Director for American Atheists, and Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Things that I want to talk about this week. I just got an email from Tony Perkins, who, if you're not familiar with Tony Perkins is the president of the Family Research Council and many of the other sort of affiliated groups with the Family Research Council. If you're not familiar with that group, they are the leader of the most strident side of the religious right. So these are people who have been marginalized to some extent in recent years because their position on certain social issues, namely on same-sex marriage and on even on abortion and any number of other things, has been falling out of favor to some extent with the general public. These are folks who support a vision of America that is, I think it is appropriate to go as far as to call it Christian supremacy. These are people who think that the government should broadly reflect religious, their particular interpretation of their religion, namely extremely conservative evangelical Christianity. These are fundamentalists. These are people who certainly have no respect for separation of religion from government in any way, and believe that the government should reflect exactly their perceived religious preferences. So in this email, he says that after 8 years of President Barack Obama taking a jackhammer to freedom, faith, and family, he's looking forward to a President Trump and a Congress to turn back those changes. He says that we've had eight years of President Obama shoving, quote, homosexual marriage and harsh punishment, shaming, and financial ruin for anyone who dared to dissent because of religious beliefs. He said that President Obama has allowed members of the opposite sex to use girls and boys public school bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers, and sanctioned schools who disagreed with that policy. He says that President Obama pushed, quote, transgenderism and homosexuality as a federal priority, and Christians put on the wrong side of the law if they dared to speak up, and also talks about persecution of Christians in the workplace, the military, and even the ministry. So I don't have to tell people, I hope, how just completely incorrect these things are. Christians are not being persecuted in the ministry. Christians are not being persecuted in the workplace. Christians are not being persecuted in the military. The only thing that's happening is that people are insisting that people in positions of power in workplaces, in the military, don't engage in conduct that ostracizes or discriminates against other people. So if you're a Christian and you go around preaching all the time at your job that happens to be a government job, the First Amendment is there to prevent you as an agent of the government from engaging in discrimination or in effect establishing a religion. And that's what the First Amendment means, that when you're acting as a government, as an agent of the government, you are not allowed, you're not permitted to do anything that would give the impression of endorsement or establishing of a religion. That's the Establishment Clause. The other idea that that President Obama or anyone has shoved homosexual marriage down the throats of everyday Americans, which I'm sure is his view of this, is ridiculous. Majorities of Americans have supported same-sex marriage since President Obama's election in 2008, and that number has only grown. There is no punishment for dissenting and opposing same-sex marriage. People are not being thrown in jail for opposing same-sex marriage. People are not being punished in any way for opposing same-sex marriage by the government. There's certain societal pressure, just like there's societal pressure for people who are racists and people who are misogynists and people who are any number of other who support any other type of discrimination. That's called social pressure. That's a thing that happens in any society when people have views that are outside outside of the norms of a good society. The other thing, just to add here, is that the government has not been pushing whatever the heck transgenderism is. the government has been requiring that schools and other government agencies recognize that transgender individuals exist, and that, you know, they would like to use the bathroom that conforms with their gender identity, and fighting against discrimination on the basis of gender identity. These aren't anti-religion things. This is not persecution of Christians. This is the continuing evolution of a society that allows for people to live their lives free from religious dogma that, you know, is backwards on these things. And then he goes on, and this is the part that's most alarming. He goes on and says his priority for the next 4 years. He wants to, and I quote, gut the Johnson Amendment, which the far left has used in an attempt to silence churches. The idea that the Johnson Amendment is silencing churches is frankly ridiculous. No church has had their tax-exempt status revoked by the IRS for engaging in politics during the Obama administration. It's just something that has not happened. Churches have, in fact, felt free to ignore the Johnson Amendment and ignore the rules related to engaging in politics because the Obama administration has not pursued enforcing the law. This is, in our view, one of the biggest stains on the Obama administration, not holding churches and religious groups accountable and giving away too many exemptions and loopholes to religious groups from the law. If the law is important enough to pass, pass it for everybody. This is, you know, this goes back to Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act with the contraception mandate, saying that it was important that people have access to free contraception and free preventative care under the Affordable Care Act, but then giving away a huge loophole that then opened the door for closely held corporations like Hobby Lobby and other sort of religiously affiliated groups to get additional exemptions and for more people to go without that sort of coverage. If the law is important enough to pass, you pass it for everybody. The second thing, one of the other things he talks about is nominating and confirming a Supreme Court justice that'll turn around the court's growing judicial dictatorship and return our religious liberty to us. Tony, your religious liberty is right where we left it. You have the freedom to believe whatever ridiculous thing you want to believe and say, believe it or not, whatever ridiculous thing you want to say, but no one is assaulting your religious freedom. What we're trying to do is make sure that government represents all of us and that it doesn't just elevate the particular bigoted beliefs of one particular bigoted sect of one particular bigoted religion. And if you've got a problem with that, then we're going to be fighting you every step of the way, because this ridiculous notion that the First Amendment, that religious freedom is under attack, is simply not true. Pushing for the so-called First Amendment Defense Act, prioritizing getting rid of this wall of separation between churches and engaging in politics if they want to be tax exempt, we're going to be fighting that every step of the way in the new year. So happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas if you're celebrating Christmas. Happy New Year. And thank you so much for joining us, as always, for the American Atheist Viewpoint. For more information about our work or to become a member, please visit www.atheists.org. And we will see you in 2017. Thanks so much.